You're listening to WWBC, Cocoa, Melbourne, Titusville, 1510 AM, as well as W234BI, Cocoa, Rockledge, and W264AS, Rockledge, Melbourne, Palm Bay, and 100.7 FM.
Hello, Space and Treasure Coast. This is Sita Biggie on Viewpoint with Sita and Friends right here in sunny Cocoa, Florida. We are heard on AM 1510 WWBC, FM 94.7, 99.9, 100.7, and online everywhere on God's magnificent planet.
That's right. On 1510wwbc.com, you can hit that listen live button and get us on any one of your streaming devices, including Alexa, by the way. All you have to do is call that out for Viewpoint with Sita and Friends. And then, of course, we share all of that information on our website, which is SitaMediaInc.com, and all of our social media channels, Viewpoint with Sita and Friends, as well as Sita's own personal page. She does a lot of that too, but I think you're maxed out on Friends now. So
yeah, I am.
You'll have to go to the business pages, Sita Media and Viewpoint with Sita and Friends.
Yeah, I have to start deleting people to add people. And yeah, that's kind of sad. Because,
it is sad.
You know, but what are you going to do? But anyway, for our listeners who are tuning in for the first time to Viewpoint with Sita and Friends, on Mondays we sit here and we like to say we chat with people. We talk with people and human beings from all over the world, actually. Indonesia, China, India. We had a lady call in from France and Spain and all these other countries, and we talk about things that are going on right here in Brevard or around the world. And our idea here is that we just want to leave the world a better place than we found it and share our studio and our voices with people who are like-minded. So Ellen O'Neill is my co-host. She's been with us for 15 years. Ali Tambor is here. Last week I mixed you up. Ali is here. And then we also have Danny Whiting running our board. Our show today is going to be wonderful. Shari Tabbitt is here. And Shari, you've been such a wonderful friend, just to Sita and Friends and to me personally and Ellen, of course. And I welcome you on our show today.
Thank you so much, Sita and Ellen.
Yes.
I'm so happy to be here today.
Thank you. So you're going to be, which we change it up a little bit, because you're going to be first segment for our friends who are tuning in. Shari Tabbitt is she's the CEO of her own company, a concierge company. They watch your home for you while you're away. She does real estate. She has her own brokerage firm. We're going to be chatting with her the first half of our show today. And on the second part of our show, you know how I like to gallivant all over the United States and visit people? Well, I met a wonderful gentleman in L.A. His name is Skip. He's a producer of music and songs, and he helps people with their bands, does bookings for him. And he introduced me to a wonderful lady named Chantel Mouton, and she's going to be calling in the second segment. She is a songwriter. She has her own band, and she is in demand. She's currently negotiating a record deal with Paramount Records label, and that would be a great segment. But for now, we're going to talk to Shari on what's happening with real estate right here in good old Brevard County, Florida.
Well, Sita, thank you again. And real estate is always, you know, it's always changing. And Sunshine Coastal Properties, my new brokerage, of course, follows everything, all the trends very closely. You know, we do have a market here where our on-day market days are staying on a little bit longer than what we were used to during COVID. Right now, average days on market is 45 days, but really, that's normal. People feel like it is taking a long time, but that's really normal. And our inventory that we currently have is 3.6 months, which is not a ton of inventory. So that's really the market in a snapshot. Of course, our new home market continues to grow. because, you know, we can get really good interest rates from new home builders, incentives from the builders. So that segment of the market continues to grow and be strong. And then there's something else that really I have on my mind today, Sita, that I've been watching at Sunshine Coastal Properties, is that the new thing coming up, and I'm not sure many people are aware, but the new shift in real estate is the popularity and growing popularity of multi-generational housing. Just as our inventory is very tight, our prices are ever increasing, it's harder for people to afford to buy a home. We are now starting to see nationwide, it's about 6% of the sales. And here in Florida, it's about 9% of the sales is multi-generational housing, whether it's a mother-in-law suite, a separate entrance. It's maybe your adult children staying longer. It might be your parents coming back to live with you. Many different things. But as our society ages and our pricing stays really high and our interest rates are high, it appears to be that's going to be a trend, I think, in our area. And I think it will hit Florida a lot because we have that age population. In Brevard, I don't know if you know, but over 30% of our population in Brevard is over 60 years old.
Yeah, I've been reading a lot about generational housing. And also, the idea behind that is you keep the generational wealth in the family as well. Because, you know, I asked Alexa this morning. I said, my friend is coming on and we're going to be talking about generational housing and all that. And believe it or not, the idea behind this is, number one, you save on daycare cost.
Correct.
You save on elderly care, because someone could take care of mom and dad. And it's life experiences that are being shared. So a lot of people are now saying to their grown children, if you decide to come back to live, you have to show me that you have a bank account, you're responsible with it, and what you would have paid in rent, I would like to see you put at least some money in the bank. They're not taking care of them for free. It's like a trade-off. So you're teaching them to save while living in a multi-generational home as well.
Correct. And you're keeping perhaps your elderly parents safe and at home longer because somebody is there to take care of them. And again, the experience perhaps that grandchildren are living there as well, and they get to benefit the grandparents and the grandchildren from each other.
Right. And I mean, when you think about, I remember when we were little, because I grew up in a village and everybody pretty much knew everybody. But there's something about coming home to the smell of a home cooked meal and having a grandmother at home or a mom or somebody. Number one, you save a lot of money on eating out as well, because how many parents, have you ever tried to get in the line at Chick-fil-A at 2:45 or 3 p.m.? The line is long because the kids are hungry. And so when you don't have to do that, you go straight home. And maybe if you're Italian, the good old spaghetti and meatballs or something, right?
Right.
You have food at home waiting for you.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah. And you're seeing that a lot in Brevard. Like I know this family from Trinidad that came up and they bought four houses in the same subdivision. The mom and dad, then the in-laws, and then just two sons. And so there were like four or five houses adjacent to each other, not attached, but they could look out their window and see each other. You've seen a lot of that as well.
I am starting to see some of that as well. I just recently had two sisters relocate here from Napa, and they each wanted their own space, but they wanted to live next door to each other in the same neighborhood. And we were able to accomplish this for them. And they're just thrilled. Thrilled. So I think that's kind of the trend. People, the number one reason people move today, they move to be closer to family.
Yeah. At least those sisters are getting along. You have the opposite. Like we see in the nursing home sometimes, we'll see families that come in and haven't spoken to each other for years. And you wonder what happened to cause such a rift. So that's a refreshing story.
It is.
To have
it
people... Is. Now, we have a friend that just moved from her place, and for her, the amenities, she is get over 55 and she wanted to have friends and she wanted to do things and less maintenance. Are you seeing a lot of people who are selling to move into ALFs and places where they have less headache with their houses?
Yes, we're seeing where those, say, over 60 are kind of looking for a different lifestyle where not so much of their time is taken maintaining their home or their property. And they do want, because they're active adults, they want communities where there is pools, tennis courts, pickleball courts, of course, today, without the popularity of pickleball.
Oh my gosh, yes.
You know, workout fitness centers on site. And it's really, it really is a sense of community. Some of the communities out there, like your Del Webb, and some of those communities are really offering, you know, our seniors or active 55 yeah. and over people good alternatives.
But how does a person with an existing home compete with something like that? Because when you have an existing home and you have it in a neighborhood where there is not enough land to put on the pickleball court and a swimming pool and tennis courts, you can't compete, can you?
Well, Azita, I think the one thing I would recommend to you and to your listeners, you know, you have to have start with a good agent, a good
right.
realtor. And Sunshine Coastal Properties, we come in and we guide you through that process of putting your house on the market and make suggestions to you of what we think would be better curb appeal or what do we feel to improve your house to better make you competitive in that market with new home sales. And we also have a long list of trusted business partners that we work with that we can refer to you to help get your house where it needs to be to get it sold and for top dollar.
Right. So you would come in and you would tell them what improvements are really needed, but not only tell them, but you've got people that you could say, hey, if you would like, get a quote from this person or this person or this person.
Exactly. And we take them step through step through the whole process, you know, and we can stage. We have photographers. We have everybody that you can use, a roofer, a handyman, whatever you may need during that journey to get your house sold until you cross the finish line.
Right. You know what's sad? I had a lady at the nursing home once, a patient in her 80s, and she said that her husband did everything to improve the house before they sold it. But when she lived in the house and she wanted those improvements, he never did. Why do people do that all the time, don't they?
They do it all the time, yes. all of a sudden, that whatever was happening that really bugged them, that yeah. never was fixed, they know they really need to get it fixed to sell their property. Because if it bugged them, it's going to bug a buyer that comes in.
Yeah, and are there homes now on the market that you guys see that are staying on more than the average home? And if so, like, what would cause that? Is it just the price is not right, or maybe didn't do the proper renovations and upgrades?
You know, Sita, I would say probably the number one reason is the pricing may not be right. They might be overpriced for the market. Sometimes it may be something, really now the buyers are looking for a move-in ready. They don't want to do any work. So really, it's really important to have those things done prior. And I think it just makes the house easier to sell if it's already move-in ready.
Right.
Exactly.
It is. I think so, too. We sold one, and that's what we did. And what happens, I guess everybody should have a backup plan that if their house is not selling, what next? Rent or whatever. What do they do here in Brevard?
Well, I think then, you know, I would have a chat with the sellers. What are their goals? Why are they selling? And we can kind of come up with a game plan. Does it make sense for them to rent their house out?
And you
are
help
there some
with that
other,
as well, right?
I do.
Right.
We also
so
do
give
rental.
Us the name of your concierge company, your home watch company, and the real estate and brokerage firm, so that our listeners who are tuning in to Viewpoint with Sita and Friends wouldn't know who Shari Tabbitt is. Give us
sure.
everything.
My brokerage that I just started in April is Sunshine Coastal Properties. We're a boutique brokerage based out of Indy Atlantic. But I have been in the real estate business for over 9 years, so I'm not a newbie. And then my home concierge service is Space Coast Home Watch and Concierge Service, helping the snowbirds maintain their home in their absence, watching their home during the storm season of the hurricanes, doing whatever is necessary to keep their homes in good condition in their absence, which can be, you know, 6 to 9 months sometimes.
Yeah, and you're very knowledgeable. And I like that the list that you have, it can help people when they're trying to sell a home and renovate, but you can also use that list of trusted, loyal people that you have, vendors, when people are home away, because how many times you go into a home and something is wrong and it takes more time, energy, and effort and money to come back to fix it, whereas they could trust you to do it.
Correct. And they don't know if nobody's watching their home. They don't know what is going on in their home. And quite often we walk in and something's wrong. And if we're not able to do it on site, we do have that list of resources that we use quite often. And they are used to us, that they kind of put us on the top of their list because we use them a lot. And usually within 24 hours, we can get somebody into the home to fix or repair whatever is going on. And I use the same list because even after I close deals with buyers or sellers, they always have needs as well of, I kind of joke, I call it, I got a guy, because people will call me, hey, do you have a guy that can
yeah.
redo a bathroom? And I actually on social media do a little segment that's called I've Got a Guy, and I feature some of my trusted business partners.
Right. And as a broker, you usually help them price their homes based on the current trend. You know, because I know in the past people would say, well, let's price it so high and then we can come down and play a game. That doesn't work anymore.
It doesn't. Buyers are very savvy. They have all the same tools that everybody else has. You know, the first place they search for their home is on the internet. So everybody has those resources to get a Zestimate and things like that. So they're very savvy. They know what homes in the neighborhood have gone for. And it's really important to price the home right the first time, because otherwise it may sit longer and then people start wondering, is there something wrong with the home?
Yeah. And you got to listen to your broker.
Yes.
Right? How many times, you know, people are, they're calling a professional, but then they want to tell you what to do. I mean, sometimes you just have to use these two little things called ears and listen, right?
Right, right. Right.
So tell our listeners a little bit about the Home Away program, because that is huge. We have so many snowbirds and we have so many people. I just had a friend of mine called me. They live here in Florida. They just moved, but they have to move to a different part of the country because the grandmother fell and broke her hip. So they're going to have to pack up everything and go over there, and they're planning to stay at least 6 weeks. Well, something had happened in 6 weeks.
Oh, most definitely. And usually it happens right away. And so what we do every 2 weeks, we go into their homes. We do a 21-point inspection. We're checking to make sure their AC is working, making sure there's no leakage, making sure all the doors and windows are secured. Just doing an overall, you know, viewing of the property to make sure everything is as it should be. And we also do things like forwarding mail, different things that clients always come up with. We drive their cars. It really is a personalized service. So far, there really hasn't been something that somebody's brought up to us that we could not provide
the service.
So it's
like a one-stop shop.
It is.
Right?
If we can't do it, we probably know somebody
who
can.
You know a guy.
I've got a guy.
No, Ali, you work you live in a community where you see a lot of people have sold their homes and moved into the ALF there.
Yes.
Is that one of the things you heard them say, that it became too much to maintain their properties?
Yes. Yes, and they needed to be closer to some kind of help if they needed it, kind of thing. And we've all lived in houses for a long, long time by the point where we get to where we would move to, like where I am. But it's newer, and it's easy to navigate around inside. You know, if you're pushing a walker or something around with you, it's just a convenient sort
city
of
amenities. And Ellen, you've got a lot of family. I'm sure one day somebody would decide to buy the whole block for the O'Neills.
I don't, well, I don't know about that. I don't know if we can contain all the O'Neills on one block anymore.
That'd be a little scary.
However, but generational, what Sherry's talking about, generational housing is also a lot in the senior community right now, even if it's not family. There's a lot of seniors that are sort of pairing up together and figuring out how to either combine resources.
I know the Golden Girls used to be a TV show,
exactly.
But it's no longer a TV show.
I think it's coming back.
Yeah, but it's coming back. The generational housing, the Golden Girls. It's like when you go off to college, four people are living in one room with four twin beds and they share a bathroom and a communal area, right?
Right.
It looks like the elderly is doing that too.
Yes.
Well, it's just to save. Yeah. And certainly HOAs and townhouses and so forth that they've become popular as well. But the HOA fees are getting astronomical now, where it's almost an additional mortgage payment for some people that if you're on fixed income and those things go up 10% or 8% every year, you eventually can't afford it year after year going into that. So the generational housing pieces, I've seen things like they call them granny pods. They're like little portable houses that you can put on your property for additional living space.
Yeah, Sherry,
do you see any
of that?
I haven't personally seen it, but I have heard that it is coming, and there's some talks with lenders how they kind of...
Little houses,
in ADUs. In Titusville, they're building the tiny houses.
Yeah.
So, you know, there are some people that want to buy a house, but realistically... They are not paying attention to how much they earn and how much the interest rate, taxes, and all that would be with a mortgage payment. What do you tell that young person out there that says, I don't want to rent anymore, I want to buy, but they're very unrealistic? How do you get prepared to get to that point to go to a lender or mortgage broker or a bank and say, I need, because you got to qualify first.
You do have to qualify
and
first.
And you have to have good credit.
Yes.
So what? I'm sure people come to you and say, "Hey, Sherry, I want to buy a home." And then, what is that? You know, the steps you give them to take.
Sure. So, especially for a first-time home buyer, you know, we really sit down and talk about what their goals are, what they're looking for, and try to set up realistic expectations with them. We refer them to some of our lender partners. And the first place we want them to then go after they have a little conversation with us at Sunshine Coastal Properties, they go talk to the lender and see what they qualify for. And sometimes their credit scores have to be raised up so that they qualify. And a lender can always help them with what that process looks like to get them to get their credit scores up so they get a better loan, better interest rate, and all those sorts of things.
Yeah, and it's always the credit card. People, you know, I never knew this, but your HOA fees, they hold that against you too.
They do. All of that is included in your monthly payment.
Mm-hmm.
So you have to qualify not only for the actual mortgage, but for the HOA fees, your homeowner's insurance. It's all lumped together.
Yeah. And with the new taxation with the homestead that's coming, we're not sure if it's passed. I'm not sure if it's passed yet. I know it's in the works. Does that help or hurt communities? Because we depend on the taxes that we collect from the houses, homeowners, to help with basic essential things we need, like the schools, law enforcement, the roads, and all that. Have the real estate industry, have they taken a look at that at all?
You know, the realtors are always in the forefront of what's going on, what's best for
the communities.
The communities. And housing, and to keep housing strong. I think it's really too early at this point until it's all passed and the dust settles to know what is actually going to happen. What's going to change?
What's significant? Because
it's hard to say, because you're right. Schools and fire department and all that stuff is all covered under taxes.
Yeah, look at Satellite Beach, for example. You know, number one thing people look at are the schools.
Right.
Then they look at the crime rate.
Yeah.
Then they look at the traffic, the pattern, the infrastructure. And it's like some communities fare better than others because of the zip code or the wealth or whatever. But, I mean... it seems to be like schools and crime. People look at, I mean, you Google.
Those are the number one.
You Google those things, and that's what people look at first when they're trying to buy a property.
They do. Yeah. For sure. For sure.
And Ken, like, I know we have some friends, and four girls were saying, like, the four of us want to buy a place. Can you title that for four people?
You sure can.
You can. You really can.
Title companies or an attorney can help you form whatever that looks like, but you sure can, because more people, more friends are joining forces.
Again, are you seeing that a lot too? Like,
yes.
Friends.
Yes.
Good
yes.
Friends are saying, yeah, that's it. We're going to do it together. And this generation seems to be able to keep their friendships, because I'm looking at them like, you guys are going to do that for, you know, it's a 30-year mortgage. Yeah, we can do that. Yeah. I don't understand. But they do it.
Well, and real estate investment trusts have been around for a long time.
But
and
I
real
never
estate
heard
investment
of four
groups,
people.
Well, that's intentional, you know, for all intents and purposes, what it is. It's four people, four friends, four businesses, four different, you know, entities, if you will, that all join forces to try and find either like what you said, buy a whole block, you know,
for
a family.
Right. So, Sherry, let's say somebody comes to you and you have to give them your 30-second elevator speech of what you do along with your wonderful son. You sell yourself on Viewpoint with Cedar and Friends, because what you do is it's a one-stop shop. Not only are you selling a home or helping someone to, you know, list one, but you do other services as well. So you're like the person that somebody, I know a guy.
I know that. I got a guy.
I know a lady.
For that.
Yeah, so go ahead. Tell somebody out there what you do, because we have people that tune into our show from all over the United States.
Well, you know, both at Sunshine Coastal Properties and at Space Coast Home Watch, both things are a very personal based service that we really care about our buyers, sellers, our clients, whoever. Because you know what? Our homes are our number one investment, and they really are our wealth makers for our families. So, you know, I feel honored that I'm able to help families out there to create this wealth for,
and
to
put
pass
a smile on
to,
their
put a
face.
Legacy. Exactly.
Yeah,
and put a roof over their head, and knowing that I'm holding their hand and making sure the whole process goes smoothly with no hiccups, and that they have someone in their corner watching out for them.
Right. And I think people want to be able to trust whoever they choose to
Most
help
definitely.
Them buy or sell. And but you don't recommend mortgage companies and all that. People can do that on their own.
They can do it out on their own, but a lot of
But you know
time,
a guy.
But I know a guy. And what I usually do, I give them.
That's your new business. I know a guy.
Like three or four lenders that they can have a conversation with, and they're more than welcome to go out on their own as well. And they always, you know, people always ask different people of, oh, hey, you know, who do you know?
Yeah.
For a lender. Who did you use? Who was good for you? So I always tell people to really make that connection, call several people, because everybody's different. It's not a one size fits all. One lender may be able to help you better than another lender. And so that's
And it's so important when you educate yourself about the housing market and how that is tied into our lives. Like we just talked about, the taxes, the insurance, the community. It's so important. And now, are you seeing like certain areas are selling better than other areas?
You know,
or does it depend on the family dynamics?
Really, I think Viera is always popular. Mm-hmm. All the new communities, the new construction, all the shopping and dining and everything. Viera is always going to be strong, at least for the next years.
Who would have thought when those apartments were going up right across the mall, the Viera Mall, all of us should buy there. The people, everybody's loving it. You could walk. Who doesn't want to walk to the ice cream shop, you know?
Or, I moved here in 1988 is when I moved here. In 1991, I believe it was, or 92, Corey's Bagels moved his place up to, it was called Up North Pizza, right at the corner of Suntree Boulevard and Wickham. It's not there anymore. I don't even know if there's a restaurant there anymore. But the point was is that Morrell Road and just north of there getting up to Wickham was desolate. Mm-hmm. There wasn't anything. So the fact that, yeah, the fact that like that Six Mile Creek went in, that first housing development, I think The Indian River Colony Club was like the only thing on Mural Road
yeah,
at that
you know
point.
What,
the
Sherry,
golf course got built. Yeah. So all of that stuff is less than 30
up.
Years
yeah.
old.
Well built up. Yeah. yeah. No, we're looking at in Lake Washington, I don't know if you've heard of it recently, about the zoning where we live, it's one house per acre. And there's a developer who bought some land, the old WMEL, the radio station. And they want to put up, you know, like, I guess, over 55 plus homes. And I do feel like when developers come into our area, they have to look at the infrastructure, the flooding, everything in the areas and the schools and the traffic pattern, because so much building. It's good in one hand, but then you got to look at the other side of it, too.
Right.
And then the septic. I wish I had a magic wand and I could convert everybody's septic to sewer, really, because we have a problem in Lake Washington.
Right.
You know, especially when it rains.
Right.
You know, lots of flood. So so give us your website one more time if you want to, because Danny's going to raise his hand any minute.
Okay.
So somebody could contact you to buy, sell, look after the home, or get a guy. There should be a new business, a directory. I know a guy.
Sunshine Coastal Properties is sunshinecoastalproperties.com. And the Space Coast Home Watch Concierge Service is www.spacecoasthomewatchandconciergeservices.
Yeah, well,
fantastic. Thank you so much, Sherry Tabbitt. And we are going to listen to our sponsors real quick, and we'll be right back with Viewpoint with Sita and Friends right after these messages.
Leone furniture dealer featuring the best and most affordable brands. They offer all servicing for free. The delivery, setup, and home, removal of old furniture, and warranty. Work with a reputable and experienced local business as they strive for excellence with their customers. Scotty's been in the mattress and furniture business for 32 years. You can shop online, call, or stop into the showroom to place an order. They are conveniently located inside the Merritt Square Mall and service all of Brevard County in Central Florida. Super savings sale happening now. That's Cloud9 Mattress and Furniture, 321-459-2473. Visit them on the web at Cloud9, that's Cloud9Furniture.com. Again, 321-459-2473 for Cloud9. Mattress and furniture. Located in Titusville, Florida, Dixie Crossroads has been serving great tasting seafood, char grilled steaks, prime rib, chicken, fresh salads, and their famous corn fritters for over 31 years. The menu features the very best local shrimp and fish from Port Canaveral and ranges from low cost sandwiches and baskets to high end seafood combos. Visit this Florida favorite at 1475 Garden Street in Titusville. That's Dixie Crossroads, 321-268-5000. 321-268-5000, or visit them on the web at dixiecrossroads.com. Jotkoff Financial Group is a certified public accounting and a registered investment advisory firm with over 30 years of productive relationships with clients. Jotkoff Financial Group can assist you in meeting your accounting, tax, and business consulting and financial planning and insurance needs without expanding your internal workforce. With three locations here in Florida, here in Brevard County, Broward County, and Nassau County, contact Jotkoff Financial Group here in Brevard at 321-984-7345, located at 1122 South Wickham Road in Melbourne. That's Jotkoff Financial Group. On the web, you'll find them at www.jotkoff, that's JOTKOFF.com. Call the professionals at Jotkoff Financial Group today.
Oh. Opening Doors for Women is a New Life Mission's signature fall fundraising event, and this year they're opening the door to an all-new experience. The details are Thursday, October 8th, 2026, from 6 to 9 p.m. They're going to have it at the Space Coast Health Foundation at the Center for Collaboration, which is 1100 Rockledge Boulevard in Rockledge, Florida. You can still be a sponsor and still get tickets. Check out newlife-mission.org.
Oh, wonderful. So what a great first segment we had with our good friend, Shari Tabbitt. And Shari's been a supporter of Viewpoint with Sita and Friends forever. And now we've got our second segment for our listeners who are tuning in to Viewpoint with Sita and Friends, our show. It's fun. It's very, we like to say it's unscripted, educational, and we give out a lot of valuable information. I mean, I think we are one of the best shows because we want to leave the planet a better place than we found it. And we could do so by bringing on all our guests, authors, financial literacy folks, people who care about the environment, doctors, lawyers, singers, artists of various forms. And yes, we do so much for our community with the nonprofits as well. And we have a friend today who's calling in all the way from Texas. And her name is, let me see here. Chantel. Chantel Mouton is here. She's got such a pretty name. Oh my God. I had it with an S and I have to check because it's a C, Chantel. So Chantel Mouton, she is awesome. She's a singer. She's a songwriter. She's currently awaiting her first contract with Paramount Studios. And Chantel, you're on the phone. So why don't you just tell our listeners here on Viewpoint with Sita and Friends a little bit about yourself, being raised in Baton Rouge from the age of 5. Your father was a musician. You've done so much with different rappers. And at 15, you met the rap legend Young Bleed. I didn't even know who that was, but I did look it up. And it changed your life. He became your mentor and taught you your business. And you wrote incredible songs. So take it from there and tell us a little bit more about yourself.
Okay. Well, my name is Chantel Mouton. Like you said before, my dad was a musician. He was a drummer. So music has always been a really important part of my life. I started singing probably about the age of 12. We started in local talent shows. And from there, I just developed a love for the stage. It's kind of like any other musician will tell you, once you get on stage, it's just, you know, once you develop a love for it, you just can't get away from it. So I started writing songs. I was introduced to the studio probably at the age of 14 for the first time. And then again, I was hooked. After that, I met the rapper Young Bleed, who kind of taught me all of the ins and outs of the business. We remained really close friends until his death in 2025. But he taught me so much about being professional, being a woman, handling myself as a woman in the business, and, you know, just being strong, vocal, standing on things that you believe, but just being very, very persistent. Yeah. And strong-minded. And, you know, so he wrote my first song. From there, I joined a few bands, and then I started my own band. And I'm currently negotiating a deal with Lenny Wiseman, who is the brother of Benny Wiseman, who has been responsible for people like Atlantic Star, Etta James. I think his brother wrote like 72 songs for Elvis. So I'm really excited about that.
Yeah, you got me hooked when you said Elvis. I'm like, wow.
Yeah, I was pretty hooked when I heard that myself. I was like, okay.
So you wrote your first song when you were 12 years old. Talk to us a little bit about what inspired you to write that at that age.
Well, I started writing poems. I think I was in elementary school when I started realizing the importance of words and pouring out your feelings through poetry. And then I kind of realized, I might have a little talent for this. And then when I wrote my first song, I said, and I was singing for a few people and everybody was like, this is really good. I still didn't really know what I was working with, but, you know, as time went on and I wrote a little bit more and I got in the studio with a few rappers and, you know, people were telling me, you're really kind of good at this. That's when I started realizing that, you know, this might be something for me. So, you know, it's been a journey, but I definitely did not realize how the talent that I had until I was probably maybe about 17 or 18.
Yeah. And how do you approach songwriting, and what is your particular creative process?
I really like to write about things that people are actually going through. I try to stay as positive as possible. Of course, heartbreak is a major part of, you know, songwriting, but are things, you know, negative things, but I try to keep it positive. But I also don't mind working with other songwriters. I'm currently working with a songwriter right now. His name is Marcus Boatner with Anomaly Music, and this is how I got introduced to the Paramount family. He called me and he played some of his songs. He kind of touched on a lot of things that I was going on personally, and he wrote things that were specifically for me. So now I don't even really write that much. Now I really just kind of sing the songs that are written for me. And I like it because it gives a different perspective on what other people are going through, not just myself personally.
Yeah. And so I'm sure there are challenges that one faces in the music industry, right? How did you overcome your challenges? Because, I mean, I know sometimes you see the divide between the men and the woman and male, female, you know, you see a lot of stuff like that going on.
Yeah. Well, having a band, it's very male dominated. The music industry on a certain level is male dominated. You just have to kind of know your direction, know where you're going, stick to the plan, and just never really give up. I can't really say that I overcame. I'm still learning.
Yeah.
You know, I've been in this business probably about 30 years, and I'm still learning. So it's just one of those things that you just have to just kind of tune in on and stay true to who you are and just make sure that you continue on that path. It's a very, very, very tough business, but if you love it, it's not as tough, if
right.
that makes sense.
And every day we wake up on God's magnificent planet is a good day, right? We're breathing.
Absolutely.
And we can learn.
Absolutely.
So now you turned down your first record deal at 16. Mm. Talk to us, how did that happen? Because usually if you get a record deal at 16, you have to have someone advising you or telling you if it's a good deal, if it's a bad deal. Did you have someone who was there with you to help you navigate that process?
Yeah. My dad, who was my biggest fan, he passed 5 years ago, and he's one of my biggest, like, influencers. But there was a popular radio DJ that wanted to sign. He had some things going on, you know, that, you know, promises that were being made. So he wanted me to show up, and my dad showed up with his briefcase, and, you know, he pulled out the contract and he started highlighting, and, you know, he was like, because I was 16. So he wanted to make sure that he wasn't putting his daughter in the wrong hands. And I understood because I trusted my dad's judgment. I knew that he was going to look out for my best interest. So we ended up walking away from that deal. I'm happy that I did. You know, because
we all watch, you know, the entertainment industry, and you see what happened to these young stars. So in some ways he was protecting you.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. And so how does it feel now you've had your own record label? In addition to that, a television show, I helped you as well.
Yes. I think it was 2010-ish. My dates get a little mixed up, but my ex-husband and I had started our own record label. He was a part of the record industry. He was with No Limit Records, and we started our own record label because we wanted to reach out to a lot of, we were living in Baton Rouge, Louisiana. So we wanted to reach out to a lot of younger musicians who did not have the opportunity to kind of get to LA and New York, where everything was kind of, you know, that's where the scene was at the time. So we started our own record label, which did really well. And then from there, we started a TV show that was based on, you know, the youth. And then you know, started our own band from there. So it's been a long journey.
Yeah.
It's been a long journey because that was almost 20 years ago. But
well, your picture, you don't look a day over 18. So I don't know. You're coming up with all this 20 years ago and 30 years ago.
Oh, I'm going to put you on my Christmas list.
Now, when
I'm
you...
I'll definitely put you on my Christmas list. Oh,
I'll, yeah, we will trade. You'll have to come to Florida and eat my famous curry chicken, I tell you.
Oh, okay. I might have to make you some gumbo.
You know, when you were talking about writing poems, I remember being 12 years old, and we were big on poems as well. And I remember wanting to write a poem about my mother not waking me up at 5 a.m. every day to help her cut onions and peel garlic and cut cilantro and peel eggplant. Because, you know, we ate a lot of vegetables, and somebody had to prepare because they had our family... I'm one of 18. It's 18 of us. But at any given time, there were like 12 or 13 kids in the house. And the oldest girl always had to help with cooking. And I remember writing a poem about how much I hated waking up at 5 a.m. to help. This is how I called it, this lady.
Well, and, that's how it starts.
Right. The funny thing is, everything she taught me to cook is now what I serve to my guests at my luncheons and dinners. And I'm like, oh, I'm so grateful I know how to make curry chicken and stew chicken and rice and all this. But anyways, so poems have a way of getting us to share our inner thoughts and put it on paper. But they do come from a place sometimes of, you know, a weak moment or a life experience or something that happened to you that you feel you could convey to someone, whoever wants to listen to your poem, right?
Absolutely. Send it over. It might be a hit.
All right. Well, and I'm going to. And you wanted to talk about the story behind Fly Away in Baton Rouge, and that record became a big hit for you back in the day?
Well, it wasn't for myself. When we started our label, with two groups that were kind of well known in Baton Rouge already. It was the Tight Boys and Short Bus Boys. Those were two. That were the names of the rappers at the time. They had already had some traction in Baton Rouge. They were kind of well known, so they came into the studio. We started working with them. We had a producer. His name is Willie Peters, which to me is like phenomenal. He'll always be like one of the most talented people I've ever worked with. But he produced the song Fly Away, and then we decided that we wanted to do the treatment for the video. We wanted to make this into a big thing for these guys because, again, we were working with a lot of younger upcoming musicians. We wanted to show them the experience, what would happen if you get a major label. So we did the whole video process, and it ended up being a really, really big song for them. Like, it got a lot of radio play. And one of the breakout stars from their group, his name is TEC, and you guys can look him up. TEC is doing some wonderful things right now. Like, he is actually really, really, really phenomenal. When I heard him the first time in the studio, I automatically knew. I was like, this guy is, like, he's pretty awesome. So if you guys want to take a chance and take a look at him, he's doing some really good things. I'm very proud of him.
Oh, my goodness.
So Chantel, my name is Ellen. I am Sita's co-host. I've been with her for a long time. One of my other jobs is that I am the lead singer and the band leader for a local band that we have around here as well. And I'm just so inspired by other women musicians who, you know, forge the way and really make a name for themselves, not just in their own community, but especially you, since you've branched out so much. What are some of the things, because I know a lot of musicians listen in, and some of my female friends for sure that are part of bands. What are some of the things that you learned? What are some of the life lessons that you learned as being a woman and being in charge of a band and creating a band and creating all of this for yourself?
I would say the main thing is I never looked at myself as, although I was the lead singer, and it was my band, I never looked at myself as the star. I always looked at myself like the musicians were just as important as I am. Because like I tell them all the time, if I sing without you guys. It's karaoke. It's not a band. So I, you know, I needed them just as much as they needed me. So we always tried to create a dynamic where it was respect. It was family rehearsals. I would cook. I would make sure it was welcoming. And we tried our best to just keep a lot of the drama and the, because a lot of times when you see bands and stuff like that, it's a lot of arguing and egos and things like that. We never had those type of issues because we are family. So that was one of the most important things that I learned.
Yeah.
I see a lot of people break up just because
drama.
You know, they can't agree.
Girl, that's right. Drama,
well,
drama.
It all stems from ego, you know? And, and like I tell people all the time, you're in Melbourne, Florida. Like, you're not, you know, let's get reality check here. You know? So,
Chantel, so for our listeners who are tuning in, we're speaking with singer, songwriter, calling in from the great state of Texas, Chantel Mouton. Chantel, when you say the name of your group was L'Amour Musique, I thought about Louis L'Amour, because we used to read those books way back in the day.
Mm-hmm.
How did you all come together, the name of the band and the group itself?
Well, I sang with the band, Terrence Bowie and Entune. They're a well-known band in Baton Rouge. I sang with them for about 5 years. He kind of gave me the blueprint on how hard, like, although I sang and I did a lot of things before, like, we were gigging Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. Like, we were gigging all the time. So he kind of taught me a lot about the persistence and getting up and just making it happen and things like that. Well, I also met a guitar player, and his name is Cool Daddy, which is, like, my heart. To me, I mean, you just have to hear him for yourself. And then his son, Lil Cool, we call him Lil Cool, he was a bass player. So when I started my own band, we kind of talked and we all started it together. The L'Amour Music came about because Chantel Mouton, obviously, is French. I am Creole from Lafayette, Louisiana. So L'Amour Musique means love music in French. So that's how we ended up coming up with that name.
So, girl, is the next chapter looking like for you? I mean, what can your fans expect from your current music? Just tell us what's in the future, because I feel like if you're on tour here in Florida someplace, I'd love to see you and listen.
Girl, call me. We are always ready to gig, and that's what we're doing now, because we have done a lot of things locally. Now we're branching out, and being that we are kind of getting into the record deal realm of things, and the original music, we're working on the fundamentals of that right now. We're kind of working out all the contracts and all that, and then once we get that, then we'll tour. Of course, we'll do cover stuff, but we're going to focus a lot more on some original stuff. I have some original song I'm absolutely in love with. This project is going to be absolutely amazing. I am super proud. I've been in the studio and I worked on projects before, but this is truly one of my favorite projects that I've ever worked on. I think that a lot of people that have heard me before are going to be very pleased with this project.
Well, my co-host, so, Ellen, here, Ellen, when she sings, she gets people dancing, and she knows how to have the songs that keep people on the dance floor. And she has learned, there's a Trinidadian calypso that's very, very old.
Tiny
and
Whiny.
And it's called Tiny Whiny. I want you to look up Tiny Whiny, girl, because if you learn to sing Tiny Whiny, you could get them Caribbean people to have you sing and dance and everything else at their functions, too. Because, you know, I'm from Trinidad. I'm, you know, Indian heritage from India, but born and raised in the Caribbean. So we have Bollywood, calypso, reggae, chutney. But people love to, you know, dancing is like the universal language.
And what I found out is all of this calypso music is such great mashup stuff to put with other things.
Well, look,
and it is amazing.
I definitely made a note of it.
Yeah, amazing.
Whiny.
We're gonna
check it out. So if Young Bleed, I don't know why I want to say Young Blood, but Young Bleed, if Young Bleed could see you today, because you know, rest his soul, he's gone. What would he say to you today? Because he really took you, he made such an impression on your life by taking you under his wing and teaching you so much.
Yeah. He was always proud of me. I think that he still would be just as proud. He passed in 2025. I think a lot of people, the world kind of seen he was on Versus, and right after that, he passed away. We spoke probably a month prior to that. We were getting ready to work on a project. I've already appeared on a few of his projects before. So we were working on something. He just would be very proud of me, like he always was, because he knows that I don't give up.
Yeah.
I don't give up until I get there. So I just really, I still listen. I still can still hear the things that he taught me to keep going and, you know, never give up. And, you know, those words just kind of keep influencing me. So I still think he's proud of me.
Yeah. And I think that goes for any profession, right? Whether you're a school teacher and you have rambunctious children in your class, you keep going. If you're a nurse and you're taking care of demented patients, you keep going. You show up. You show up and you give the world the best you can, right? And and so he gave you good advice. But have you ever received any advice about your singing? And what's the best piece of advice have you gotten?
I receive a lot of advice. But I think I'm my worst critic. I'm very, very hard on myself, you know, but I try to listen to anything that anybody tells me. You know, I never felt like I had the type of belting voice. My voice has been described as several different things, but any type of, you know, people tell me, you know, slow down. I was just talking to my songwriter, and he was like, okay, you need to slow down, pronunciate your words a little bit more. You know, you just keep learning. It's so much advice. I couldn't even tell you what.
Yeah, yeah. There'll be a book coming out. Well, one last question for you, because I would love to hear you sing, and I know Ellen here would too. So we will definitely keep in touch with you. I know you want to leave a legacy. You do love Louisiana, and I know that your heart's in Baton Rouge. So what kind of what do you hope to leave to inspire the young artists and singers out there?
All artists, but mostly women. I think that a lot of people look down on women as they get older, and they feel like, okay, you know, it's time to pack it up. You're getting older. I hope that people learn from me that it's never too late to live your dreams. It's never too late. You should never give up. You know, it doesn't matter how old you are. It doesn't matter what you've been through personally. It doesn't matter what people say about you. You know, you still, because it's very, very important in this life that you live your dreams and you explore your gift. Your gift is given to you. I feel like my voice was a gift. And I definitely want to teach people that if you have a gift, whether it's singing, whether it's speaking, whether it's teaching, whatever it is, in this lifetime, sure that you explore that gift and don't ever give up on it. Don't let circumstances, you know, make you stop doing what you actually love to. We all do what we have to do. Not many of us get to do what we love to do. So
that's,
I'm very
so
blessed
true.
To be able to still do what I love to do.
So if our listeners on Viewpoint with Sita and Friends wants to find out more about Chantel Mouton and your singing, where will they go? Do you have a website, Instagram, Facebook? Because you're amazing, and I think one day we're going to see you performing live in the Super Bowl. Yes.
Oh, girl. Okay, that's two Christmas.
Speak it into existence.
Yeah. So give us how people can contact you.
Okay. Well, we don't have a website right now. We're working on that currently, but I do. They can log on to my Instagram, which is Lamour Musique, BR. That's LamourMusiqueBR. We're also on Facebook, and the spelling is the same, but just take the BR off. So that's LamourMusiqueWe're currently working on websites and things like that, but of course we're negotiating the contracts and making sure all that lines up, and then we'll have all that to you guys.
Well, we will make sure we share all of your great information. It was so great speaking to you today. Thank you so much, Chantel, for calling in. And to our guest, Sherry, as well, for coming into the studio. Thank you, everyone, for tuning in to Viewpoint with Sita and Friends here on 1510 WWBC each and every Monday. Make sure you check out all of our social medias as well under Sita Media, Inc.